Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and we're coming to you live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. The title of this program, Seek Reality, may strike you as odd when you first hear it, but for you and me to study reality has become essential, to be frank, because we're being lied to by the institutions that we most trust. Reality is nothing like what science tells us it is, and it's nothing like what religions tell us it is. And when I say reality, I really mean everything from the most complex concepts underlying the universe to the simple question of what you and I are and why we're even here. And for us to understand what actually is going on turns out to be very important. So it's time for us to seek reality and to figure it all out for ourselves. Eventually, of course, science will catch up. And as physicist Nikola Tesla said, the day science begins to study non-physical phenomena, it will make more progress in one decade than in all the previous centuries of its existence. My own role in this work, as I think you know, is to make it as simple as possible for you to understand the greater reality. But there need to be deep thinkers in this field as well, scholars who can talk to scholars, who can ferret out the fine details. And I'm thrilled to have as our guest today someone who really is a scholarly expert. Tom Butler holds a Bachelor of Science degree in electronic engineering, and he's spent a half century investigating aspects of the greater reality. He and his wife, Lisa, are longtime experts in the field of electronic communication with the dead. And together, they now head the Association of Transcommunication, which is the leading institution in the field of electronic communication. They've been ordained by the National Spiritualist Association of Churches as healers, mediums, and teachers. And Tom's new book, Your Immortal Self, Exploring the Mindful Way, is epic. Welcome, Tom. I'm thrilled to have you here with us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Now, we can't cover your whole book in this brief time. Just briefly, the first part of the book talks about the greater reality, and he calls it implicit cosmology, but it's basically the study of what we talk about here. The second section is interesting because it talks about what the obstacles are, which I hint at and sometimes I rail against. But we have obstacles just in the culture, which are pretty almost insurmountable, and things are being done about that now. The third section, I hope we can have Tom back to talk about, because he is one of the very leading experts in the world in the field of communicating electronically with the dead. And I'm convinced that's how we're going to break through the logjam. So anyway, Tom, I think we're going to have you back. But I want to talk about your book. The book is 500 pages long, and this is not large print, as my books are all large print and short. This is a deep thinker who has done a lot of thinking after a lifetime of study. And is it available on Amazon? Because I recommend it to people who are serious about this field.
Yes, it should be in all of the ebook formats available. And I need to say that the book is very large, but it's broken, like you said, into three parts. And I've been asked before, well, why isn't it three books? And it's because it's all one thought. You can't have the one without considering the other two.
I think that's a very important point. And I've made it myself, although not such a sophisticated way. This is a field. Like the study of physical reality as a field, and you can't really be an expert in it or even have a good grasp of it unless you've done a lot of study. I mean, you need a PhD in this field to really, really get it all, because everything influences and is part of and makes sense as part of everything else. So what you've done, though, is to break it into bites, into thought segments, and you've tried to arrange them in an order so they build on one another. I mean, I think basically you've given us a PhD course in this field in a book, which I think is just what we've needed, frankly, and it's terrific. Tell us why.
It's interesting. Pardon?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that it's an evolution of thought that came out of the association that Lisa and I lead. And it started out with just, you know, basically what is a phenomena, how do we record for it? And then there comes the question of, well, why are they there? What's the voices mean? And finally it came down to, well, what does that mean to me individually? And that's really where the book began.
Well, it's what part of what's fascinating to me about this is that we have totally different backgrounds. We really haven't ever communicated before tonight, and yet we've come to basically the same conclusions. And that's yet more. If I needed more proof that this is real, that's more proof that this is real. But what got you interested in this field? How did you get started? I mean, was it because of the electronic communication or something else?
Well, my first exposure to anything paranormal was when I was a kid, actually in high school. I signed up for the Rosicrucians. They had a correspondence course, and that's the ancient wisdom schools. And it's just been kind of off and on for the rest of my life. And when I met Lisa back in '82, she was reading Out on the Limb by Shirley MacLaine when we got together. And I, right after that, I started writing the Handbook of Metaphysics, which is my first attempt to develop a model for this. And what happened basically is in '87, she read Sarah Eastrup's book on the EVP and started recording. And as an engineer, I said,
right.
Not going to work. And eventually, I heard one of her voices. And it was really fascinating because she had asked, well, what should I have done about it? Was a bird that died in this parking building that she used. And there's this angelic voice of a woman that said, release and remember. And I was going to give advice to anybody about how they should deal with their loss of a loved one, release and remember.
Yes, right. That's
so it
beautiful.
All began there.
Well, clearly, this is what you must have planned your life around, doing this work, because you've really delved into it. And I should just emphasize that anyone doing as much study as you've done you're driven to do it, just as I'm driven to do this work. I mean, I think that we're meant to be part of the elevation of the consciousness of the planet. We came in to do that. We don't remember planning it, but we seem to be doing the work nonetheless.
I wouldn't know how to behave otherwise by now, but it's interesting that when Lisa and I met was almost to the day that Sarah Eastrup started the organization that we're running. So we were almost like led to this place.
Yes, absolutely. I don't see a doubt about that. But why did you change the name? It had an earlier name, a simpler name?
Yeah, American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena. And well, Sarah started it out focused on electronic voice phenomena, but the phenomena really can't be studied by itself. You have to study the mental mediumship, all the other aspects of it in order to be able to extend the one. And so we finally, to get out of the mode and also to become more international, we changed the name to a more generic term.
Yeah, and it's sort of a jazzier term, too. Tell us what you've discovered in whatever order you'd like to say. What do you think would interest people about what you've come to understand about what actually is going on?
Well, okay, I guess the biggest thing is that we've really lacked a model for survival in terms, when I say model, of a theory of, well, okay, they say the survival hypothesis in technical terms, and they basically stop there. They don't really tell you what that means.
Right.
And then there's the, okay, if you do survive, what are the implications of that? You have to deal with the implications as much as you do with your everyday experiences. And what we're finding out is that actually, there's a convergence underway right now. Tesla's decade is underway.
Good.
It really is, because they don't know it, but science is converging toward what we're actually, we've known all along, but now we're beginning to get a vocabulary to be able to talk about it. And basically, some of our, you know, long-held beliefs in the, you know, the paranormalists, you know, as I've been a medium for a while, and I've been taught a lot of things that are fundamentally true, but there's a lot of important caveats, one of which is that the idea of me stepping aside and letting spirit come through, functionally, there's more to it than that, and in reality, we're always going to color our messages with our own worldview, and our worldview is something that's taught to us by our culture. And
right.
So there's just a lot of things that we have to learn to rethink, and we can really begin but to do that by changing our perspective from I am my body looking out from the middle of my head out at the world to
right.
I am etheric personality, and I am experiencing this lifetime as this avatar for me,
yes.
this body. If
yes.
you change your perspective of that, then all of a sudden you're infinite immortality, you're immortal, rather, and your body is a temporary experience. And if you can get that in your head, then a lot of things begin to change for you. But one of the important ones is there's a path or a conduit of information that flows between your personality as etheric and immortal, and your conscious self, which is your body perspective. And if you get to, then you've got to study that implications of what that path is. But it's really, it all comes together. And by the way, one of the things about my book is that I'm not a psychologist, and I'm not a doctor, and I'm not all those. And what it comes down to is I try to write in plain English. I just read an article by a psychologist trying to talk about consciousness, and I literally had to get the dictionary out.
Yes.
And I've got a pretty good-sized vocabulary.
Right.
So the book's not like that. A psychologist would look at my model and say, no, it can't be that way. But if an engineer looked at it, they'd say, well, I could actually build a circuit for you based on that model.
Well, I think that that's a very important point. And what fascinates me, too, is that because of your background, you've approached this in a way different from the way I've approached it. But you're coming to the same place. I use that analogy as well when I give talks. If you can think about, if you haven't seen the movie Avatar, you got to do it for homework, everyone, because the relationship between the blue body out there in the world, that's the body you think you're in now. But really, you're in that safe little pod, just as Jake is, while he thinks he's out there inside the avatar. It's really
right.
pretty close to that. And you're right. That's a basic understanding people need before they can begin to even think about what's going on. But more thoughts. The role of consciousness and energy and all of that, which really are downplayed very much by science.
Okay, let's try to reverse that, though. Looking away from the science for a second, and I talk about the second part of the title of the book is Exploring the Mindful Way.
Yes.
One of the things that it kept coming back to when I said that, you know, what does that mean to me, was the fact that, like, okay, let me back up. I wrote an essay on ethics, and I was aiming at research ethics. But when I was through with it, I realized that the ethics is a model, a personal code of ethics is a model for developing mindful living. All of these understanding, these concepts that we're dealing with keep coming around to the idea that we can learn how to control our worldview through our intention, but worldview doesn't change in large steps, it changes in small steps. So we do this incrementally, and this becomes a lifelong process that once we consciously begin to recognize the process, we can actually manage it. So all of these self-help books I've read when I was growing up, in reality, they're all right, but the mechanisms were always missing. The actual, you know, what's going on that you're, what are you really trying to change in your mind? And it turns out that if you use the model of the worldview and the perceptual process, then the only real input you have into what you become aware of, your perception, is your intention. Everything else is pretty much on automatic.
That's such an important point. And I think that what you're saying, too, is that your mind is eternal. Your mind is really the only thing you own. This body, as you know, is just going to very quickly decay away. But your body is where you live eternally. I mean, your mind, rather, is where you live eternally. So you're working on your mind is worth the effort, right? I mean, that's very important.
Yeah. So it's kind of our job, actually.
Yes, that's why we're here, which is why the book is called Your Eternal Self. And what's the second part? I don't have it in front of me.
Exploring the Mindful Way.
That's right. I just saw it. Yes. Your immortal self, Exploring the Mindful Way. And what an important thing you've done in emphasizing the fact that it's our minds that this is really all about. Learning how to control your mind is central to your understanding anything. I'd like to stick with this a notion that you can really help us, Tom, to begin the process of understanding reality in a way that is accessible to most people. And teaching people to be mindful, because the mind is the only thing that we have that really exists and is part of eternal mind, is important. What else should people, how do people approach this? Is your book set up for people who are relative beginners to this field?
It's a fairly complex book. I think that I've written in a reasonably readable fashion, but there's a lot of detail. And basically, I cover a lot of subjects from the perspective of the model. So within the context of the model, the book's accurate. Like, it has a rather large glossary of terms, but all the terms are defined based on that model. So it really depends on how much work the person has to do. But the essence of it is that, you know, the creative process is basically the attention on an imagined outcome with the intention of making it so. The attention and the intention are our part, but the imagined outcome is really based on our memory, based on experience. We can't create something we don't already understand or that we aren't already familiar with. We can create variations on what we're familiar with, and that's how we incrementally improve our worldview. But basically, if you think about the things that you imagine, your dreams, everything, it's based a lot on prior experience, prior understanding. That's Rupert Sheldrick talks about that in terms of the morphic resonance. It's based on nature's memory.
So, but what you write seems pretty self-referential. I mean, I know we tend to say in our field, you create the reality that you think you see around you. And what you're doing is, in a profound sense, showing that that's true, right?
I believe that it is showing that within the context of the model. That I think the most important thing is to have an ordered model that you can refer to that has vocabulary that goes with it. And one of the things I used to consistently get beat up about when I was editing on Wikipedia was that they'd say, well, you guys don't have a model. You don't have any theory to explain what you claim is true. And parapsychology hasn't given us any model. Actually, they tended to tear down what we think was true. So what this book is intended to do is provide that model. If you work within the structure of that model, then these things begin to make sense to you. And then it's up to you to extend that understanding into the rest of your life.
Okay, can you very briefly explain the model or set it forth in a few sentences?
Well, okay. First of all, I use fields as opposed to, you know, forces and like influences is my equivalent of energy. And
yes.
What it boils down to is that There's one diagram there in the beginning of the book that has the life field complex, I call it, with the avatar model. And the only real physical part of that is just what we assign as the physicality of the physical world. And so in that diagram, the body is the physical part, but the body itself has a morphic field, as Rupert Sheldrick would say, that is it's got its own mind, body consciousness. And our worldview, when we're entangled with this physical body, our avatar, we're sharing worldview with our body. So right. That means that when we're born, we're primarily under the influence of our avatar's instincts. You know, we're almost entirely driven. And what we call maturity is when we begin to be able to control those instincts. We learn right. that we don't have to necessarily kill for breakfast. What I'm showing them there is that we're taught by our teachers, our schools, our media, especially our media, I guess, what our world looks like. And when we perceive, our perception is based on our memory, not based on what we actually see. Everything physical, our physical touch, smell, seeing, is translated into an etheric signal or a non-physical signal, which is processed in this perceptual process of ours, and it's according to that worldview. So what comes out of that decision-making process and visualization is what we become aware of, consciously aware of. And this is something that's solid science. Both yes. in mainstream and parapsychology, this is an emerging understanding that we don't directly experience our physical world. We experience it indirectly by way of an unconscious process. And wow. if we get that in our head, then that means that we have to turn our attention toward controlling that unconscious process. And the best way to do that is to everything you do, ask yourself, is this the right thing to do? Does this work? What are the implications? I have my model on my website is believe what you will, but understand the implications of what you believe. If you get that in your head, that's what I refer to as mindful living or mindfulness.
Yes.
If you live with that, then you begin to have some influence on your worldview because you don't have direct control. You basically... First light theory was very formative in this book, and that's James Carpenter wrote the book on that. And it's a meta-analysis. He wrote it based on meta-analysis of virtually all the psychic functioning experiments and research that's been done. And one of the things he talks about in that is that you turn toward, unconsciously now, you turn toward information coming to you, or you turn away from it, depending on what you've taught yourself to do. And that's, again, your worldview. So I have what I refer to as a functional area as an attention limiter. And basically, all the information in reality is coming to you at one time, but you're ignoring virtually all of it except for little bits and pieces that you're interested in. And you can control what's limited in that process by your intention. And again, that's part of a daily living of mindfulness. What are you doing? You know, what are the implications of what you're doing right now?
Wow. This is, I hope you've been listening, everyone, because this is so immensely important. It shows how what scientists are talking about, and it begins to see how it all fits with what we've been talking about. What I talk about on Seek Reality is sort of big picture stuff. I don't get into details. And what Tom is beginning to do is get into the details of how we actually are composed and how we function when we're here. Now, this is just a tiny bit of your eternal life. When you're in a body, this is sort of just a brief afternoon in the gym. But it's an important brief afternoon in the gym. And I'm fascinated to hear Tom talk about having studied the more conventional sciences, have him talk about how it actually works. So thank you for that, Tom. That was wonderful.
My pleasure.
And, And one of the things that Tom and I have been talking about, too, is the problem that we face, because those of us who are studying the greater reality in all its different aspects, including New Age people, including, you know, more conventional researchers, all of us are sort of on our own. We're off doing really good work, some of us, but on our own. And Tom devotes a whole section of his book to talking about that and why it's a problem. So share your thoughts on that, Tom.
Well, basically, we're okay. Remember the story about the blind men trying to describe an elephant?
Yes, yes.
And they each have a different part of it and everything. Well, in a large sense, our community, and I will say our community, paranormal community, are people who are more than casually interested in these phenomena, who are seekers for personal understanding, who want to study it, ghost hunters, and parapsychologists. We're all in this community together.
Yes.
We're all standing around the same elephant trying to describe it, but none of us are really communicating with one another. And one of the fastest ways, the easiest ways to defeat an idea is to scatter the attention from it, disinformation. And
yes.
And after working with the skeptics for so long in Wikipedia, they're experts at disinformation and confusion. And we right now what we have are a whole bunch of people who are basically self-appointed experts. And,
yes.
You know, I have to include myself in that. So,
of course, me too.
So what we're looking for is an emergent consensus, if you will. And we're not there yet. And I hope that perhaps this book can help on that. But it's going to take it's going to take some charismatic person with a lot of understanding and to develop support. I'm not that person. But right now, each one of us needs to be at least discerning, to find out what discerning means and practice it religiously, because our parapsychologists are people we look to, our scientists, who we absolutely need, by the way, to be able to make this work.
Yes.
But right now, they're much more focused on what I call the super sight hypothesis, and that's basically saying that we are greater than our body, but what survives our physical body is the memory of who we are, and that somehow psychics are able to access that memory. That's basically the closest they'll come to survival on their studies. And so they aren't helping us any. And there's a growing influence from the mainstream psychology it's anonymous psychology is what is usually referred to, and there's variations on that. But basically what they're saying is that the experiences we have can be explained without resorting to paranormal explanations. And so what they do is they're proving, you know, they're doing all these studies and everything and proving that it's really all in our mind. And the way that they're able to prove that is by ignoring the evidence.
That's right.
And,
you know, exactly right.
But they're not bashful about ignoring the evidence. And so right now what we have a lot of, what I've started finally referring to it as, we have an academic layperson partition. And basically, it's that the academics, the parapsychologists are all, by definition, academics. They don't really want to do a lot of associating with people who aren't academics. And it's the academics who are the lay people, you and I, or me anyway.
Yes, both of us.
Okay, who does the actual experience, you know, has the actual experience. Lisa and I have been able to collect some really, let's say, important phenomena. Both of us have been practicing mediums. We've sat with 7 or 8 or 9 physical mediums, and we watched them at work. We've hosted Kai and David, you know, the people that we've had close controlled looks at, and the scientists are more looking at people like David Thompson or Kai Mugi as test specimens. That's all they're looking at. They're not really giving them the benefit of humanness, if you will. There's no ethics code screening on research, for instance, where if you try to do that in mainstream science at a university level, you're going to get in a lot of trouble.
Right.
But here there's just no control like this. So there's just a lot of dysfunction in our community that this business of survival, you know, the whole concept of my model about the survival, it has to be applied in this dysfunctional environment. And that's one of the reasons I feel like we have so much difficulty coming to grips with their own personal growth, is because of this confusing information we have.
Yes, it's why most people have no idea what's going on still, because there's so much noise in the marketplace. They don't know who to listen to, and half of what they listen to is going to be wrong, and sometimes disastrously so. I should just say parenthetically for everyone that David Thompson and Kai Mugi are physical mediums. We've talked about physical mediums some on Seek Reality. Unfortunately, we've had people trying to debunk what they're doing to the point of really discouraging at least David from continuing to even do the work. There are things in our field that people simply cannot investigate in a conventional way. There are things in traditional science that you can't investigate in a traditional way. They excuse themselves for that, but they don't excuse themselves in the fact that we can't, for example, have physical mediums operating in light for important reasons. So it's just frustrating that the standards are so different. So Tom, tell me some of the things that you know, you and I have talked about. Tell me your thoughts on the fact that we're not just disunited, but we're being ignored and disrespected by traditional scientific field and by Wikipedia. I didn't realize before tonight that you were in one of their editors.
I'm permanently banned from editing the Rupert Sheldrake article, for instance, okay. And they won't let me edit the EVP article.
Because you know too much about both? Is that why?
Pardon?
Because you know too much about both topics, so they won't let you edit?
No. They don't. First of all, Wikipedia is set up so that if you're a subject matter specialist, you're simply not allowed to edit it. They'll just jump all over you when you try. It's really pretty complicated. I have on my etherecstudies.org website, I have concerns with Wikipedia article, and it goes into the detail. But it's Wikipedia. You know, anybody who uses Wikipedia as a quote in our field of study, it's fine for looking at movies and stuff like that. But if you use it as a reference in our field of study, you're just saying that you don't know what you're doing, realistically.
That's pretty succinct.
And you're supporting the enemy, too, by the way.
That's true.
But, okay.
That's true.
Let's take a case study.
Okay.
We have a gentleman who conducted research. He was granted money from one organization that we respect. He was widely published in two other organizations that we respect. He studied a physical medium who was, okay, now that's your live human test subject, which just automatically ethical codes are required to can be considered.
Right.
And when he got through with it's for physical phenomena, when he got through with the study and everything, rather than talking about the physical phenomena that he actually recorded within the protocol, and going into any kind of theory of, well, how could this be? You know, what are the implications, stuff like that? There were some suggestions that this medium had used some tricks early on, which, by the way, the medium was, he's a scholar in his own right, and if he didn't try to see if these tricks would work, he's a fool. So, you know, in other words, what we're doing is we're ignoring human nature in that respect. But rather than talking about the actual research, all this researcher would do is talk about this innuendos of this previous fraud, and therefore maybe everything else is fraudulent too, although he didn't find any frauds. Okay, that's the basic setting. I've tried to be pretty general about that on purpose.
Right.
But what's going on now is that, for instance, the Society for Psychical Research is one of our respected organizations we turn to for information.
Yes.
It's parapsychology. They have a new PSI. It's a term for the subtle energy that we think is going on when we think about, you know, the connectedness to everybody.
Right.
Psi Encyclopedia, they have the new. And sure enough, the article about mediumship was written by the same guy. And rather than talking about the ins and outs of mediumship, he spends the whole thing on regurgitating these complaints about possible fraud.
Yes. And Victor sent it to me. Yes, I saw that. That was horrendous.
Okay. Well, what's going on here is that the three major organizations, parapsychological organizations we look to for guidance, are collectively supporting this ongoing attack on one of our primary pieces of evidence for survival, and under the guise of science. So now we have a retired professor of philosophy making pronouncements about survival and physical mediumship under the cloak of academic authority. That's not acceptable.
Not at all.
All the parapsychologists, their silence say that they agree. Okay, so that's the environment that I'm dealing with right now. And my response, and it's not my response, it's some of us are getting together, and it's placeholder title is a practitioner advocacy panel. And basically what we're trying to do is set up some kind of let's call it an ethics guidance organization, not organization, but committee or just a panel that will help set some best practices for ethics codes, best practices for if you've got a grievance. I mean, I've seen a number of really good practitioners in electronic voice phenomena or mediumship just flamed, torn asunder by people who really don't have any personal knowledge about it.
And terrible.
So if somebody in our, what we're really kind of aiming for is to make it culturally acceptable, if you've got a problem or complaint about somebody, here's how to go about it, rather than just publicly tearing down the whole organization to get at one guy.
Tom, tell us, we've come to the end of our hour, or close to it. Tell us how people can get in touch with you. What's your website?
There's a contact at atransc.org.
atransc.org. Okay.
Yeah. Or the other one is etheric studies, one word, etherics.org. And at the bottom of any of those pages, there's a contact.
Well, we're going to have Tom back because we've only really begun to talk about some of this stuff. And his book is Your Immortal Self, Exploring the Mindful Way. It is fantastic. It's a really scholarly but very readable book, and it's been badly needed. His view on this topic is very badly needed. You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. Thank you for joining us. My dear friend, you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began and you never will end. And when you really understand what that means, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Next week, our guest all the way from Australia will be Louise Herman. Louise is a gifted young medium, among the most gifted mediums on earth, I believe, and she is certainly the most dedicated medium, as you'll hear. Not only is she a good spiritual or mental medium, but she's developing as potentially a very good physical medium as well. We're going to explore with her what it's like to have her abilities and how it is she develops them. I hope you'll join us next week. And today our guest has been Tom Butler. Tom is a pioneer in the field of electronic communication with the people we used to think were dead. He spent a lifetime in studying the greater reality, and he's what we've needed in this field. He's a deep thinker about what actually is going on and a pioneer in assembling a really good detailed model for the greater reality and for the way we're constructed. Even scientists know all of this must exist, but the scientific gatekeepers still are not allowing anybody actually to study it. There are a few exceptions, but for the most part, stonewalling continues to this day, but it doesn't have to continue for you. Tom Butler's book, Your Immortal Self, Exploring the Mindful Way, will be a foundational classic in this field as acceptance of the truth continues to expand. I try to make ideas as simple as possible, but Tom Butler is a real scholar and in a field that has desperately needed a scholar. You can reach him through atransc.org. That's T-R-A-N-S, atransc.org. And I'm going to have him back because he is a fount of information. I've always sort of admired him from a distance. It's wonderful to have him for a friend. Now, as you know, my own nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, Flying High in Spirit, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and The Fun of Growing Forever. You can find recent episodes of Seek Reality on bbmglobalnetwork.com, and older Seek Reality episodes are now being rebroadcast on the Dream Vision 7 radio network and on the X Zone broadcast network and its affiliates worldwide at xzbn.net. I'm excited to have older episodes with wonderful guests being rebroadcast. That really thrills me. In fact, Seek Reality episodes going back as far as mid-2013 can be available for free if you look for them as podcasts on webtalkradio.net and on iTunes. Just look for Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Now, for more information about any of these broadcasts, or if you'd like to read my blog, or to ask me a question, or just say hi, just go to robertagrimes.com. I always answer emails. I'm very happy to hear from you, and if I can help you, just let me know how I can help. One of the joys, in fact, probably the central joy of my life at this point, is that I hear from so many people who are discovering these truths that I have loved all my life, and I'm thrilled to share them with you. Meanwhile, of course, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being and you are infinitely loved.
This has been Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Tune in each week and discover the nature of reality and God, past, present, and future, in a way that can only be told by Roberta Grimes on the next episode of Seek Reality.